Pumpkins and Pals, and there's also therapy too.
Perfect. Flu season. Have my little notes.
Yay! Okay. So let's do it. We're here. Welcome everybody to Park Pals. Hello. And welcome to Crystal Dockery again. Yay.
Oh, I'm Crystal Lee. Excited. No, you can say Crystal Dockery.
Both of them.
Both of
them. I am both of them.
Am both people. I'm so excited to be back.
Oh my gosh.
Thank you for having me.
Oh my gosh. My pleasure. First of all, this is one of the best episodes ever. And it's so great. I have so many notes. So let's just like get on getting on. Mm-hmm. Like I said in the last episode, because this episode I do have a little bit more of notes, but okay. So flu season 3, episode 2. Yes. This was directed by Wendy Stansler. New director alert.
Ooh.
We haven't seen her.
She did a great job.
She did a great job. Oh, my gosh. We haven't seen her in Parks, but oh, my God. We have seen her in 800,000 things. Okay, I'm going to list off some of her stuff. So, first of all, she's actually also an editor, and she edited 43 episodes of Sex and the City.
Wow.
Yeah, so if you watch Sex and the City, like the original HBO show, like she had her hand in that amazingly. She directed one episode of Sex and the City, but her directing credits include You're the Worst, which... I feel like there's a couple of directors that have done that show, but I'm actually not as familiar with that show as
I can't even tell you what it's about or who's in it. So sorry.
I'm
sure it's awesome though.
Me too. So we'll add that to our list. She also edited a lot of that show, so that's good. And then she directed Grey's Anatomy, Desperate Housewives, 90210, The Mindy Project, The Middle, Vampire Diaries, Pretty Little Liars. I mean, that list, like, it goes on and on.
Famous, and Wendy.
She is famous. I reached out to her, or at least I think, well, actually, I don't know if her information was listed, but I tried to find her on Instagram. So if anybody knows her, let me know, because I would love to know. But she comes back to direct 3 more episodes of Parks, which is awesome. So this is her first time. But I should also mention that she directed an episode of Nashville, the TV show.
Oh, my gosh.
So fun. I love that show so much.
So close to home.
I don't know.
Literally.
Literally. I don't know which episode it was. I didn't look it up. But regardless, it's a great show. So I'm sure it was wonderful. She also directed an episode of Dolly Parton's Heartstrings. Have you seen that show?
Yes.
I don't remember. Again, I didn't look up which exact episode it was. But it's on Netflix. And it's so good. If anyone hasn't watched it, highly recommend it. It's so good. Amazing cast also. Mm-hmm. Woo! Basically, also, if you're not familiar with it, there's like an episode that focuses on one song of Dolly. So like it'll be spread out. They wrote an episode about her song, or one of her songs rather. Right. So like the Jolene one, Julianne Hough is in it, and she plays Jolene, which is like so great. I love it. Okay, so that is Wendy. And then the next thing is that it's written by Norm Hiscock. We know Norm. We've seen his work a ton of times before, and we know and love him because we've seen his work also on King of the Hill, where he worked with Greg Daniels, a.k.a. the creator of Parks and Rec and The Office and everything. And he's also produced Brooklyn Nine-Nine, obviously Parks, and of course Space Force, which was Steve Carell's show. But it's great that we're getting to see his writing, because he produced a lot of stuff. Like, he's a producer mostly, but he's writing a lot now in Parks, so that's awesome. I think he writes a lot on King of the Hill. I think he wrote some stuff there too.
Such a great show.
I know. Blast
that reminds me of my childhood.
I know, right?
Whether that's a good thing or a bad thing for my childhood, I don't know.
I don't know. It's kind of like that nice era of like The Simpsons and King of the Hill.
100%.
It's all good. And which all the Parks people are like have their hand in as well. So pretty amazing. But also a reminder that we've seen him in Parks because he's written Rock Show, Pawnee Zoo, Woman of the Year. I mean, great track record.
Oh my gosh.
And now flu season.
Yes.
Oh my God. So good. So great writer director team. And then the thing that I have right before we get to our summary is that they submitted this episode for the Emmys. They submitted this to the Academy. And this was the one that got Amy Poehler nominated.
Oh my gosh.
Of course, though.
I mean.
Yeah. And also Hollywood Break, I do want to like tell everyone as well. I feel like people don't know that like when you're submitted or you win an Oscar, an Emmy or whatever, like you are being submitted for that, and then like people have to vote on it. And that's why like in California, if you're from LA, you already know that, or not from, but like live in LA, you already know that. But like that's where there's, you know, posters everywhere, and like, or you'll see ads where it's like for your consideration or whatever. Like, it doesn't just happen. You don't right. just hand out awards.
Right.
And it's not just all like, it's kind of more pomp and circumstance, I feel, right. than it is like the actual award. But of course, Amy Poehler is perfect. And so deserving. She should have been nominated. Yes. So like, and most people are. I'm not saying that they're mm-hmm. not deserving. But I just want people to know that it's not like, oh my gosh, you were so great. Here's an award and here's a nomination. Right. You know what I mean? It's right. like, here's we the had studio's budget and, yeah. that can pay for this like right. campaign, basically.
Right. Oh my gosh.
But anyway, okay. Well, do you have anything before I get to the summary?
No, I'm so excited to hear the summary.
Okay. So Maddie has sent us his summary, so I will go ahead and play that right now. Which, by the way, I really can't wait for you to meet Maddie.
Yes, I know.
It's so weird that it's worked out that she hasn't been available every time you've been here.
Like the Maddie sub.
Yeah, but I love it. And we'll all have a little moment when she's available and Heck when you're
yeah.
available.
Heck yeah.
Okay, here we go.
Flu season is hitting Pawnee, Indiana, and is taking out some of its strongest citizens. Ron gets some quality man time with Andy as Andy takes over April's job while she is hospitalized with the flu. April uses her time wisely in the hospital by terrorizing Anne. Leslie and Ben prepare for announcing the Harvest Festival to the town's business owners when Leslie gets the flu and begins acting delirious. And Anne finally gets to see a weakness from Chris as he is hospitalized with the flu and can't stop pooping. But with the hard work of Anne, teamwork, and Andy's demonstration of extreme like and support for April, they all pull through to make a full recovery.
Yay! That Yay. Was great!
Oh my gosh.
Oh my god.
Such a good summary.
All right. Anyways, yeah, that was a great summary. I loved it so much. And yes, Chris had, there are so many improvs in here, one yeah. of which is that pooping line.
Stop.
Which
pooping. One of my favorite lines of that episode. That was one that I took notes on because it's just so Chris.
It's and so Chris.
It's also so everyone who's ever been in that situation. Yeah.
Willing your body to just yes, stop doing like, what it's doing.
Stop.
Oh my God. Oh my Insane. Gosh. All right. Well, there was a commentary on this one on the DVDs here. This one had Mike Schur, Amy Poehler, and Adam Scott, which is amazing. So great. I loved hearing their voices. They said on this commentary when they were recording that it was 4:45 a.m. in the morning. So
oh gosh.
I know. So they apologized for not being on top of it or their normal selves. But I was like, they'll be fine. It's totally fine. And then as I was listening to it, I was like, yeah, they're mostly like improvising, going a little bit haywire. It's like, it's 4:45 in the morning. And what's interesting, is that they said they all woke up before their little babies. So just a little bit of like backstory, or not backstory, but I guess a little trivia. Mike had a 10-month-old. Mike Schur had a 10-month-old at the time. Mm. Adam Scott had a 2-year-old. And Amy already had one baby, and she was pregnant with the other while they were filming this. So we just got kids all over the place, and they were really doing amazing. Also, this was a year and a half. When they did the commentary, it was a year and a half after they shot it.
Oh, interesting.
So that was really interesting because I always wonder, like, when do they even do commentaries? Is it right after the DVDs come out? And also, when do those come out compared to, like, when they shot it? So
I would think you'd want it a lot sooner than that, so it's fresh in your mind.
I know. But, yeah, with, like, the DVD extras. Yes. Weird. Mm. So, anyways, they had some little cute, like, trivia and cute nuggets of stuff, but it was definitely like a lot of tangents and improvs, and it was really funny
to be expected at 4 a.m.
exactly. Yeah. They also said that this was a really fun story, the flu season part of it, because Amy Poehler was super pregnant and they could hide her belly if she was in a hospital bed. So I thought that was really interesting.
I mean, I didn't even notice.
I know there are a lot.
They did a great job.
I know. Well, if you go back and look, there's only like one or two scenes where you do see her like full body, I guess, and like she's wearing kind of a flowy shirt. Mm-hmm. But still, I didn't see like a bump really.
No.
And there are still, but like there are times where like they use her purse or like the podium, or she's sitting at her desk or whatever, so you can't tell.
Jacket.
Right. Exactly. Oh my God. And then she also said that you could tell how pregnant she is because you're not supposed to dye your hair when you're pregnant, and she said she still did sometimes, obviously, but for this one you could kind of see her roots are coming out a little.
Really?
And I was like, oh my god, I would never have thought about that.
Yeah, me neither.
So yeah,
that's fun little trivia stuff.
I know, but I thought it looked good. I actually like her with some roots showing, so, and it wasn't like so much roots that you're like, you know, no, you don't notice it.
I didn't even notice.
Right.
Yeah.
But I liked it. But yeah, apparently you're not supposed to do that when you're pregnant because, I mean, noted. It makes sense with chemicals. So.
Yeah.
But yeah. Anyway. and they really did air this during flu season, which is great.
Yeah. When is, I feel like I don't even know what the flu is anymore. Post-COVID.
It was it. I know, like,
when
right?
When is actually, when well, is flu season?
Okay, literally.
Because I feel like every day is COVID day.
Every season is COVID season.
Yeah.
No, that's what I was thinking when I was reviewing this show, because mm-hmm. I was like, oh my gosh, it's going to be so interesting to see all the similarities with yes. COVID and everything.
I definitely, that was one of my little notes. The whole like, masks and quarantine
yes.
and stay away from me and flu season, like all of that to me was it just hit differently mm-hmm. after what we've all gone through. It was like, this is funny but also kind of not funny anymore.
I know. You know? Totally. Yeah. Well, and one of the things and I looked up when I was reviewing it, or because I was really perplexed as to why Anne wasn't wearing a mask, or like mm-hmm. nobody was wearing a mask, I right. feel, and like I guess basically the thing that I looked up was that I wasn't the only one. That's the only thing I found really that felt that way. They were like, how is Anne not getting sick? She's right. like around all these sick people.
All the sick people.
Nobody is wearing a mask. And I feel like people at the hospital usually do when there's a flu or something mm-hmm. going on, but maybe, I don't know, it just wasn't a thing as much.
Yeah.
But Chris is wearing an N95 mask, which is so wild.
He would, though.
He would, yeah. Which we'll talk about as we get there. So this cold open starts with the Pawnee Medical Center because it's flu season. Mm-hmm. And Anne is talking about how everyone has diarrhea and fevers and chills. And friendly reminder that the outside of this hospital is in Burbank. It's okay. at Providence St. Joseph Medical Center.
Awesome. And my brother was born at a St. Joseph's.
Oh my God.
In Santa Barbara. I know. Okay. I saw it said St. Joseph's on one of the things in the hospital. I was like, oh.
Oh, wow.
So maybe it's the same like branch or whatever.
Yeah, maybe
the
so.
The hospitals have branches. I don't know.
Yeah, because like Ascension St. Thomas here yeah, has multiple you're right. branches. So
like St. Thomas West.
Midtown. And, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So maybe. And it. I just like I'm always so flabbergasted because the inside is a set. The hospital is a set. It's yeah. not a hospital.
What?
And it is gnarly.
Yeah.
It's so gnarly to see because they really put so much work and energy yeah. and money. It was so massive. 100%
thought they were in a hospital.
No. Isn't that crazy?
That's crazy.
It's wild. And I'm always stunned to believe also that not only is the hospital a set, but Anne's house on the inside is a set.
Yes.
It looks insane. So great job to the art/props
yeah,
department.
Props. Insane. Props to the
props to the prop department. Hey,
how many times have they heard that before?
I know,
sure.
really.
So many times.
So the sound of the buzzer is buzzing because April is really annoying and trying to get Anne to break. She's so mean to Anne because she's mad at her for kissing Andy, but also like she's just kind of frustrated with Anne anyway, but
right.
she says a janitor could do Anne's job. So frustrating.
So not cool.
But Aubrey Plaza does a great job, but I still am so annoyed with that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then we're meeting JJ. Do you have anything before we meet JJ?
No, not before.
Okay. So just a friendly reminder. This is the first time we're actually seeing JJ because we've talked about the diner, but right? we haven't actually seen him. I have such a deep dive on this fellow. So this guy's name is Brent Briscoe, and we have to pour one out because he passed away in 2017.
No. Oh, that makes me sad.
It's so sad. You guys, that was a turn. I probably sounded excited about, like, my deep dive. But, like, that was in my deep dive because also, okay, well, first I'll tell, we'll get the sad stuff out of the way. But what a legacy, first of
yes.
all. Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
And, but I found an article on Variety.com that said Brent Briscoe, known for appearances on Parks and Rec and Twin Peaks, which is wild. He's known for Twin Peaks. Died on Wednesday after a short Wednesday back in mm-hmm. 2017 after a short hospital stay due to a serious fall that resulted in internal bleeding and eventually heart complications. And
no.
he was only 56 years old.
Ah, I hate this.
I hate it too. And I'm sorry.
I hate that so much.
Ugh. Mm. But he is so wonderful. I mean, what a guy. Mm. And also, if anyone, I had to tell some of my friends too about this because actually Sean, who's been on the podcast before, I texted him and his wife Sierra because are you familiar with the Disney Channel original movie, The 13th Year?
Oh my gosh.
The one where the kid turns into a mermaid when he's 13. Or merman, like, should I say?
Yeah. Wait, is this okay? Okay, jog my memory.
Yeah.
I'm having images in my brain. Is this the same actor who did Luck of the Irish?
No, it's not that. He looks very similar. Does he? He does look very similar. If you look up the, yeah, it's like that cute little teen heartthrob moment, uh-huh. like, or whatever. But no, Luck of the Irish, great film. Great
like
cinema.
The depths of my memory, just like, oh my gosh, I forgot
great
about.
Disney movie. Oh my God.
Can we talk about how good all those were?
They're so good, okay? And they're all on Disney Plus, by
yeah,
the way.
I mean, watching them.
Hello?
Honestly.
Hello?
Yeah.
Okay. The 13th year, though, was... So Brent Briscoe plays the dad of the friend of the guy who turns into a merman when he's 13. And I remember watching Parks and being like, oh my God, I know that guy. Right. And it's so funny that I know him from that, but like everyone else knows him from Twin Peaks, this like really amazing, like intellectually sure. deep thing. And I know him from 13th year.
You're like doing your Mickey Mouse ears like, oh my God, yes. Literally.
It's so funny. But so like in that movie, I want to jog everybody's memory if they can. But in that movie, so like he had the main guy, the merman guy, has mm-hmm. a friend who's kind of like dorky and dweeby and he can't swim. But the merman guy is on the swim team. And so he teaches him how to swim. And like the dorky guy has like the little floaties on. You guys look it up on IMDb. It's perfect.
Okay. Maybe I'm getting this confused.
Yeah.
This is such a tangent. I'm so sorry. We'll get back on track.
That's what this is.
Is there another mermaid Disney original where
there's a girl mermaid?
My Luck of the Irish heartthrob dude falls in love with mermaid.
Maybe.
And like puts her in a giant fish tank at that point. To keep her alive.
I don't know.
The memories are surfacing and I can't.
I mean, yeah, all I'm seeing are the 13th year. Oh, wait, there is one called Aquarium. Aquamarine, rather. And mm-hmm. But I don't think that guy is in it. There's a Jake McDormand that's in it.
Let me see.
This guy. But that's not him. He kind of looks like the Luck of the Irish guy. But Aquamarine is another movie, though, that like she's a mermaid. And
oh, no. Is it by Disney?
Yeah, it's a Disney one.
Does she get put in a fish tank?
I don't know.
Because her boyfriend wants to keep her alive.
Or maybe, well, let's see. What is Aquamarine about even? Okay. Oh, well, Emma Roberts is in it. That's so cute. Oh, there's a, there was a book apparently. What? That's interesting. Well, it says loosely based, so probably not.
Yeah.
The mermaid, a sassy creature named Aquamarine, Sarah Paxton, is determined to prove to her father that real love exists and enlists the girl's help in winning the heart of a handsome lifeguard. But I don't know if he puts her in a fish tank.
Okay, you guys, right. I really need your help. If you know what I'm talking about, please let me know. If anyone else is having the weird memories that I am right now.
I know, I'm trying to
I'm imagining the Luck of the Irish guy.
Okay.
And he's trying to help this girl. And at some point, she's like in a little pool or fish tank or something. Because obviously she can't survive outside of the water. Okay, I'm going to stop now.
A fish tank in Disney movie. I don't see anything on here now, but we'll keep an open mind.
Someone please write in and tell me that I'm not crazy.
Yeah, seriously.
So appreciate
it. And then I'll Google it too, mm-hmm. Like a little bit later.
I'm going to go home and watch all the Disney Plus movies that are like
Do you think
mermaid-y.
It's a Disney original movie?
Okay. I feel like I remember seeing it on Disney.
Okay. All right, we'll do it.
I mean, it could not be.
It could be the 13th year even, too, honestly.
And I'm
maybe
just,
he's in a fish tank.
Is he?
Or maybe he's in maybe he falls in love with the girl and we're getting it all twisted or something. I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah. Okay, moving forward. So sorry. Back to JJ of JJ Steiner. Oh my gosh.
If you haven't watched 13th year, go ahead and watch it.
Yeah.
But if you have, go ahead and do that too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So also in my deep diving on Brent/JJ, I saw that the director of the 13th year, his name is Dwayne Dunham. He also, like, this is a random deep dive, but I just thought it was interesting that he also edited The Last Jedi, and he was in the editorial department of Empire Strikes Back and Indiana Jones, and he also directed Twin Peaks, which brings us back to Brent.
Sure.
Because Brent was in Twin Peaks, too. So it's, like, so weird. I was like, what are you doing at Disney? Like, these, like, great actors and directors and editors. But at the same time, Disney movies are perfect, and they hold up. So,
you know what? Yeah, gig's a gig, man.
Yeah, dude. Mm-hmm. Also, like, they're great. Like, I was judging it for a split second, and then I was like, no, it's great.
Yeah.
Also, he looks like a rich white Grinch. Not Brent Briscoe, but Dwayne Dunham. I'm going to show you a picture of him so that rich. You can see him. Like,
oh, my God. He does.
Don't you think? Because he has, like, his little wrinkle
at the
things,
yacht club.
And his, like, his cheekbones are really high. I'll post a picture of him. And you guys will understand.
Yeah.
But anyway, so that's my little deep dive with that. And Brent has also been in The Green Mile. He's been in an episode of Brooklyn Nine-Nine. He also played a cop in The Dark Knight Rises, which is wild. And he was a detective in the movie Mulholland Drive, which is really famous. So, yeah, he's done a ton of stuff. Yeah. And he's a great actor. So don't let Disney fool you.
No.
Which he was great in that, too. Let's be real.
Yes. So, classic.
Anyway, good old JJ, good old merman / mermaid. Now that's I'm gonna put that on my to-do
I know
list.
It's bothering me. I can't stop thinking about it. I will move forward though, because I must.
Okay, well, we'll have a recap moment next time. Yeah, and
100%.
Okay, so Leslie starts coughing and she says maybe her allergies are acting up because she vomited 5 times today. She has that talking head and we're like, yeah, that's what it is. Uh-huh. Allergies.
Yeah.
And she needs 80 local businesses to participate. That seems like a lot to me.
It does. For such a small town.
I know.
But I mean, the Harvest Festival is huge.
Yeah, it is so huge. Yeah, and I guess we're now seeing just how huge it is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I think we're thinking it's a small town. It's like going to be this cute, precious little thing, or at least from my audience perspective.
Right.
But like for 80 businesses to be involved with it and to like sponsor them and stuff, like that's a big deal.
That's a lot.
So also those pies behind her looked really great.
I know.
I wanted all of them.
I know. So yummy.
Now they're talking about having a meeting at the Chamber of Commerce and they want JJ to come. And JJ says that she's her favorite customer because she spent over $1,000 on waffles.
I made a note of that because I was like, yes, I love that. In the last year, right?
Yeah.
$1,000.
You spent $1,000 on waffles.
That's
just
like
alone.
$2.75 a day. She's spending on waffles 365 days a year.
Oh my God. Yeah, I love that math. That's really interesting.
Yeah, I had to do that real quick, like while you were talking about JJ, because I wrote like 1,000 waffles last year, ? And then I was like, I need to know the daily amount of that. But I mean, honestly, that's what people probably spend on coffee at Starbucks.
That's true too.
Or more.
Or more. Yeah, if they get a coffee every single day.
Yeah.
Or she could be going every like Sunday or something, because waffles probably cost like, I don't know how much they
That's
cost.
That's a lot in waffles.
Yeah.
If she's only going once a week.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's do the math on that. So it's 1,000, and then she's only going 52 times.
Is that how many weeks are in a year?
There's 52 weeks in a year. She's spending $20 worth of waffles.
So she has to go twice a week. Yeah. I'm imagining waffles are like $10 or something per meal or whatever. So
I mean,
she's going at least twice a week.
Yeah, wherever she. I mean,
or maybe she had a really bad month and she went every single day that.
How expensive are just waffles?
It up, you know what I mean? How is she
and
moving
that's just
about
the
this?
Waffles.
Right.
She doesn't usually get more than waffles. I think waffles are like her thing.
Right.
And then the rest of the menu
maybe
is
some
wrong.
Coffee.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I bet you say that to all the girls. No, you're actually my favorite customer.
Oh, that's funny.
So now we're back to April being sick, and Ron brings in some magazines and lipstick, which is super cute. We're starting to see.
He's trying.
Yeah. And the like fatherly kind of relationship that they have is really precious, I feel.
It is.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he's starting to actually care, which is, you know, last season we would not have seen that, especially not season one.
No.
Like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I love that huge bear, by the way.
Yeah.
And she brushes it off like, oh, all my parents bought me was that. And I'm like, I love that.
Okay, what would you rather have? Would you rather have magazines and lipstick or the giant bear?
Both. <I'm just kidding.
laughs> Don't make me choose. I would rather have the bear because honestly, I'm probably not reading. I don't really read magazines, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I
and
know.
I don't know if I'd want to wear lipstick while I'm throwing up all the time.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I think that I would ditch the lipstick, but I would take the magazines and the bear because I do read magazines. But I don't know how much I'd be reading it if I'm sick. You know what I mean? I'd probably be watching TV instead.
Yeah.
But I guess you're at the hospital, which is gross, and they might not have good channels.
Yeah.
The good question. We'll put that as a poll in our Instagram stories.
Which one would you rather have?
Right. And she doesn't want Ron to tell Andy that she's there. And Ron says she doesn't want to know the details because the less involved with personal affairs, the happier. And then he has this amazing talking head.
He found his best friend. He doesn't know his name.
Yes. He talks about how he became best friends with a guy he worked with. We still never talk sometimes. That joke was written by the infamous, amazing Harris Whittles, the late, great Harris Whittles. So good. He had such a hand in Parks. So amazing. I love that. I think it's so smart.
It is.
So now Leslie's back at the office and she is eating what looks like emergency, but like in that little packet, but it's not mixed with any water. She's just like raw dog.
Which, do we think that's actually emergency or is it just like, you know, powdered sugar?
I know. You mean like for prop purposes?
Yeah.
I don't know. I really don't know.
That would be rough to just take a packet of emergency on camera and just
like
gag.
Have it melt. She did say on the commentary that they kept giving her like different things to try to make it not so like
unbearable.
Mm-hmm. But I don't know if it ended up being emergency. She didn't actually say if it ended up being emergency or what it actually was. But they did make a joke. That it was orange cocaine in there.
Keep her going.
My chair was like, this is cocaine, right? That was cocaine. And she was like, yeah, it's just orange cocaine. But yeah, they said the props department does talk to you about like what's going to be eaten and the little chat. They have a little chat before they do it just so to make sure that you're like good with it.
Right.
But again, I don't know if that chat just meant like, hey, you're going to be eating emergency. So here's some emergency.
Right.
Or was it like, what was it in there? Right. I don't know. But I'm sure they had a little conversation about. I love this. Tom, Donna, and Jerry are in the conference room on speakerphone with Leslie, like separating themselves from Leslie because she's sick, but you don't know that until they reveal it. And I love that so much because you don't really know that they're talking to each other.
Right.
You're just thinking she's like on the phone with maybe a business partner or something like that, or a sponsor for the Harvest Festival. So I love that. I love this line of Leslie says, you're all tired and sweaty. What's your excuse, Jerry? Do you really want to go there? Because Jerry was like, you're sweaty and you look bad.
Yeah. Oh, poor Jerry.
I know it. It's so sad. Oh, my God. Tom says the word quarantine. Because he says, like, go back into quarantine.
Yeah.
And it's serious COVID vibes.
Yeah, it really is. That really, when Chris was wearing his mask, did that happen already? When
he's wearing his mask? We're not at the hospital yet.
Yeah, but, like, the masks, and then when the word quarantine is spoken, I'm like, what?
Oh, my God.
It's just weird how, like, that whole concept and word has changed.
Everything.
Everything.
And our whole perspective on life.
Yeah.
It's wild. And they had no idea. I mean, this was 10 years prior, like more than 10 years.
And I thought it was really interesting how, like, in this episode, like, quarantining in those separate rooms on a conference call was like funny and weird.
Yeah.
But it's like watching it, I was like, that's what you should do.
Yeah.
Like, that is what it is.
Yeah.
Like, with someone sick, you
do not.
This is not like a joke. This is how you do it. You
know? I know. So
it was really interesting to be like, I get that that's funny, but also, like,
this is real life.
Yeah.
Well, and that's the thing, too, that I've been saying, like, ever since COVID kind of started. Well, not really, but, like, especially the last, like, year and a half, I've been like, I wish there was, and by wish, I mean, that's a strong word, but I want there to be a COVID season, like flu season, as opposed to just, like you said, every single day is COVID.
Right.
Every single month, every single week, everything of everything is always around.
So annoying.
It's very insane. So just be careful out there, guys. Mm-hmm. So Leslie starts licking everything too. I love her facial expression as she's like, she's like keeping eye contact with them as she's licking all of the things.
And it's like, I feel like it's all Jerry's things.
Oh yeah. 100%. That's a great point.
Her little spit and just wiping it on his screen is like, oh,
gross. Nasty. yeah. Now Chris and Anne are at the hospital. So yes, this is now where Chris is wearing the mask. Mm-hmm. He says he ended with a 5.5 minute mile, his personal low. So this got me curious.
Yeah.
I was like, what is the average mile for the average human? Not Please a Chris Traeger type
like
of human.
10 okay. minutes.
Yes, it is actually.
Oh my gosh.
Good for you. Yes, okay. On healthline.com, it says a non-competitive, relatively in shape runner usually completes 1 mile in about 9 to 10 minutes. On average. And if you're new to running, you might run a mile in closer to 12 to 15 minutes because you're building up endurance.
Right.
And then elite marathon runners, like people that run all the time, that are runners all the time, average a mile in around 4 to 5 minutes, which is wild to me. 4 to 5 minutes seems crazy. Yeah. But they're like sprinting, I feel, at that point. Uh-huh. But the top 1% of males... There were a bunch of different statistics, but like the top 1% of males to go with the Chris thing run a 6:30 mile. So, I mean, I guess the elite marathon runners, like that can't be even like a ton of people anyway. So, like, I wouldn't even compare yourself to that. But like the top 1% of males is still like more long slower than what Chris is doing.
Yeah. So he's like 0.01% of
which tracks.
People on the planet. Yeah,
especially like in that one episode when I think it was like the first or second episode where he like takes off his blouse and or blouse he takes off his button down shirt to reveal that he has his running shirt on, and then he goes like running really fast and we're like, wait, you can't be keeping up that pace the entire time. No. But that's what he's doing if 100%. This is a 5.5 minute mile.
His body is a microchip.
Yes, body's a microchip. And Anne says, my body's like a chip too. Potato chip.
That got me. That was very comforting to me because I was like, me too, Anne, me too.
I just love how awkward she is with it. She's like actually really into him now. So she's trying to like be funny, but also so awkward.
And what is she? I think she says potato chip. She goes like, no. Or something right, like exactly. She says, like, what is that she's one like, word she
no,
says?
I think it's nothing. No. Yeah. She's like, no. And it's just like so funny because it's like,
it is funny.
Oh, I feel that.
So good. Mm-hmm. And yeah, this is where we kind of see that everybody is at the hospital and they have this awkward mask kiss. Like, he tries to kiss her through the mask. Right. And like, you're wondering, like, why isn't anyone else wearing masks? This is very intriguing to me. But yeah, and this is where Anne says he's too perfect and it makes her feel kind of weird.
Right.
And fun fact, so Rob Lowe and Rashida Jones kind of knew each other before this, like many years prior to filming. So he dated, and he said this on, I'll give credit where credit's due, Parks and Recollection, the other podcast that he has. Like I said in the last episode, I don't think they don't dive as deep as we do, but they do give us very great little tidbits. But it's like you kind of have to listen through like 50 minutes to get like 3 tidbits, which is great. Right. I still love them. I love Alan Yang so much. I really do. He's like one of my most favorite people. He's so cool and so talented. But I love Rob Lowe too. But Alan Yang is probably like weirdly higher for me.
Yeah.
But anyway, so Rob Lowe dated an actor whose little sister was friends with Rashida, which is interesting. And the friend... was Sarah Gilbert, the one who's on The Conners and Roseanne, and she was on The Talk. Mm-hmm. And anyway, so like when they came on set together, they were like, oh my gosh, we know each other a little bit. And it wasn't like they were BFFs, but they like had a shorthand with each other. And that was really cool to hear. And Rob Lowe said that like they had, it was just really nice for them to work together and they had a really good communication. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like, you know, we're just starting from fresh.
Right. They kind of had rapport.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And Rob Lowe said it was really fun to work with her and that she was just like super great. And I was like, yes, she is.
Yeah. I would like to be her friend, I think.
I know. She seems really cool. Have you seen that Quincy Jones documentary? Mm-mm. She produced it because that's her dad. And so it's really good. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It's really lovely. Also, this improv, I guess I already gave it away, but there is an improv here when Chris Traeger is running away and says, way to go, buddy, to the flu guy. That's just, or like the old man that's just like walking down the hall. That's an improv by Rob Lowe.
I think he does that again at the end of the episode, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah, maybe you're right. Yes, he does, I think, when he's like.
He does it twice.
Yeah, because that's in the tag, I think. Uh-huh. Yeah. Mike Schur here on the commentary really commended like every single actor knowing each of their characters so well because they talked a lot in the writer's room, like how any situation they gave the actors, they were very confident that the actor could just like go with it and riff off of it. Mm-hmm. And they did write a lot of, like a lot of it was scripted, but like they were really confident in knowing like if we tell them to just like play with it, then they'll be good with it.
Yeah.
And that's what he was kind of talking about, especially with Rob Lowe too. Mm-hmm. So that was really cool to hear Mike Schur say that.
I love that little moment.
And yeah, this is where I wrote that friendly reminder. This is all a set. Wild. Insane.
That's crazy.
Not a hospital.
I for sure thought it was.
Ugh, me too. And then we've got where this nurse comes out, the one with the red hair, and she is in a couple of other episodes. She's actually in Pachytis when her and the other nurse and Dr. Harris all come to Anne's house for the Halloween party, and they're all dressed as nurses and doctors.
Yeah.
And I think she comes back as well. But her name is Jean Simpson. She is, yeah, like I said, she was in Pachytis, and I messaged her agent, and she's going to send us in some voice memos, or maybe I'll chat with her somehow. So I'm gonna talk to her about that. But she is a dancer as well, which is incredible. And she started ballet at age 13. I'm reading off her bio. But yeah, she started ballet at age 13 with the Dallas Metropolitan Ballet Company.
Wow.
And then Tuzer Ballet Company, I think I'm pronouncing that right, at 15 in Texas. So she's from Texas. And she's also a fitness blogger for Health Boosters Withings. I'm gonna link that in the show notes because it was really interesting. I looked it up, which is just, you know, a fitness and health website. So love that.
Well-rounded. I like it.
I know. Dancer. I think she sings too, an actor. So yes. Let's see. Oh, also. Okay. I don't know. This is random. But can we talk about how everybody was admitted to the hospital instead of being told to just go home and get like liquids and rest?
Thought that was kind of strange.
And take some medicine maybe?
Yeah.
Because I mean, maybe like they were suffering or something like that. I don't know. But I was like, I had the flu.
Yeah, if it gets bad enough, I think, you know, you go to the hospital. But I feel like really doctors would probably just be like, eat some soup, stay in bed.
Yeah.
Or some medicine. But like there's no medicine.
Which is weird because like, they keep saying flu cure, medicine in like, the show.
Cure the flu. That's why it's still around.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, I thought it was really interesting.
I don't know. I need to look that up because why they keep saying I need more flu medicine? Like, what's in the IV? Is it just, like, liquids? Is it just...
Liquid IV.
Like, literally. It's not... It can't be pain medication. I don't know. I'm very intrigued.
I know. I thought it was kind of interesting.
Okay, well, if anyone is a nurse or can shed some light on that, maybe I'll ask some of my nurse friends if they can... I don't understand.
Right.
But anyway, okay. So now we are at where Ron is needing to find someone to fill in for April.
Oh my gosh.
So hilarious. He asks Andy. And I love this fun straw moment.
I know.
Oh my God.
Just both of their faces, like Chris Pratt looks like he's probably 5 years old.
Yes.
Like just the emotion and look on his face of like, look what I have just accomplished,
yes!
You know? And then Ron's face of like, excellent.
Right.
Like, this is exactly what I was looking
Nailed
for.
It.
Yeah. I just thought that was so funny.
I did
too. It
just
made me smile the whole time I was watching it.
Yeah, totally. Well, and his like face also when he's like sucking in the straw, he's like sucking.
Yeah.
It's so cute.
It is.
And yeah, Ron gives that full-lipped smile or full-teeth smile. It's really also interesting to me because I don't know if you caught it, but in the back there are, like behind him, there's some other straws like torn around. And I was like, oh my God, he experimented,
right.
I think. Like, and this was his final product.
The pinnacle of his creation.
Oh my God, it's so funny.
It's great.
Oh God. And then he asks, Ron's like, you know, just sit behind the desk, answer the questions, whatever, whatever, if you want to, kind of situation, because I don't really care. And then he says that he gave April the day off, and he's like, would it be weird if I asked for the day off? Like, you're already just starting a brand new job.
Right.
But this is a sweet super moment because a super sweet moment because Ron covers for April and says like, oh, I just gave her the day off.
Yeah. Yeah.
It doesn't say where he
it's
is.
That little, you know, it's that little commitment to, you know, because he's kind of like, I'm trying to stay out of it. But also at the same time, he's not kind of staying out of it because he's doing what April asked him to do. So I thought it was really.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Well, I think it's really cute because, again, we already said this, but like this moment for sure, like he's kind of slowly. It's showing like increments of his caring. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. I'm stopping by now to give you something nice. And now I'm going to cover for you because right. you care deeply to not, you know what I mean? To mm-hmm. not let Andy know. So I'll try to be on your side for this. Right. Yeah, it's really precious. So we're getting some tidbits of Ron opening up. Okay. And then this is where you talked about the big puffy coat. This is where Ben walks in and Leslie is like in her scarf in this huge coat. And did you notice this? This thing has a Parks logo on it. This coat. It's so cute.
It is so cute. I want one, honestly. I don't know. It looks awesome.
I bet we could buy one somewhere online.
I bet. I bet someone's made it. It just looks so warm yes. and cozy mm-hmm. and like something I'd just want to like sit on the couch yes. in. You yes. know?
Even that. Even that. Yes. Yeah. And I feel like it'll last for a really long time. There
good quality.
Oh my God, great quality. There are so many different Parks things, though, like so many things that you can buy online that have the Parks logo on it. So
yeah, I mean, even the mug she was mm-hmm. using, like in the scene, was the Parks mug. Yep. It looked really cute.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Maddie actually has one of those. Does it's she? Really hilarious.
I love it. That's awesome.
Chris comes in and yeah. oh my gosh, he is terrified. Oh my God, is she sick? Is she sick? He yeah. like draws up short and his whole right. face is yeah. like, I'm going to uh-huh. die. I'm going to die. Yeah. And then I think Mike Schur said on the commentary anyway that I think it was him that was like, this is one of my favorite line readings that Rob Lowe has ever done. Like, my body's a microchip. Yeah. Yeah. Can't stop saying.
A microchip.
I love that Tom has his helmet on and he's misting himself with hand sanitizer.
That really got me. Mm-hmm. Just the quick turn of the camera and just taking in the glory that is Tom trying to protect himself and just like the misting.
Yes.
Like misting myself with hand sanitizer.
Right. Well, and I feel like that's very COVID-y too yes. because like if people didn't have a mask, they were pulling up like bandanas or whatever the uh-huh. fuck, which don't work. But I mean, they do technically work, but they're not like regulated or whatever.
Right.
So he didn't have a mask. So he was just putting on a helmet, which I think is so funny.
I know. It reminded me a lot of those like face masks that people were wearing too, like the plastic ones, you know, they either came up or down over your face.
Oh, the face shield things. Mm-hmm, yes.
Face shield.
Yes.
Oh my God. Me of that a lot, which I thought was woof. So funny. And then, yeah, just the misting of hand sanitizer. I know.
Which, like, how much is that helping anyway?
Like, if it's not on your hands.
It's like, I guess, spraying Lysol kind of situation.
Yeah.
I had to do the face mask thing for a voice lesson, like, in 2021.
Really?
Yeah, because it was, like, we couldn't go, well, yeah, we weren't comfortable being inside uh-huh. yet or whatever. And right. so we were outside in my voice teacher's garage, which was nice, but like the voice mask weirdly like helped with the acoustics.
Really? You're like, I sound great.
I know. It was like right up in your face. I mean, obviously yeah. I wouldn't like choose to do that, but sure. it worked out. But
yeah,
I mean, we had to make a lot of adjustments, that's for damn sure. So mm-hmm.
his little cheeks and that motorcycle helmet too, so cute. Little
it is
chipmunk cheeks and they're squished together.
Tom is precious.
Loved it.
She says she's taken 3 Claritins. She threw 2 of them up, but the last stayed down. So she's like, it's fine, really.
Yeah, I'm okay. getting better.
I'm getting better. Ben says she's burning with fever, and Leslie, like drunkenly / sickenly, is like, you're burning up. What? I was like, oh my God, here we go. We're the flirty flirts happening.
I know. Also, do people actually get like delirious like that
yeah
with the flu?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah,
I've never gotten that way with the flu before.
Yeah, it really depends on now I think that Leslie definitely like this is heightened, obviously.
Sure. Well, she also had a 104 fever, so that's yeah. really high,
right? Like fevers are the things that make you delirious, you mm-hmm. know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And they just kind of give you like a drunken situation yeah. happening. I can't believe she was like still moving around. I'm like, oh my God.
The sheer willpower.
Seriously.
To just be there and have get this meeting done.
Right. Oh my God. Mm-hmm. And then we learn that Chris is freaking out because he has 2.8% body fat. Which, honestly, that kind of seems unhealthy, if I'm being honest. Yeah. Like, I feel like you have no, like, which, I mean, kind of is. Now, actually, as I'm talking about it out loud, because, like, he can't have anything, like, the fat or whatever, nothing's going to protect him from anything coming in.
Right. Wow. His body is a microchip.
His body is a literal
a
microchip.
A single grain of rice. Is that what he says? Yes, or is it sand?
So. Oh, sand.
Is it sand or rice?
I think it's sand. That a single grain of sand could like fuck everything up. Yeah. Oh my God. I love that she says Chamber of Secrets instead of Chamber of Commerce. That is so funny to me.
I know.
I gotta get ready for the Chamber of Secrets meeting. But it's like commerce. Oh my God. And then, okay, this is one of the, this next line is one of the most amazing slash talked about slash like gif-able situations in Parks history. This next line that Pratt has where Andy says, Leslie, I typed your symptoms in the thing here and it says you might have network connectivity problems. That was an improv by our lovely Chris Pratt. And it is beautiful. So well done. I remember I watched, I think they were at the Paley Fest, and Mike Schur was talking about how, like, you know, I spend years writing and I like work really hard at my job, and this motherfucker can just like come in and say like the most funny, amazing thing off the top of his head.
Yeah.
And like, it's not fair. But oh my God, it's so good. And this whole like episode, I feel, is kind of chock full of like random improvs.
Oh my gosh.
And those kinds of one liners.
I was like, there's no way that all of this was written out this way.
Right. And it's pretty gnarly because this, I feel, is kind of where we talked about this in the last episode, but this definitely is showing that this is where they're starting to get their stride, I feel.
Yes, 100%.
And they're starting to gel together a little bit. I will say, just for the record, I think that Mark would have been hilarious with Leslie either being like the straight man, which is what Ben plays, so like we don't need him to play that, but like I still think he would have been hilarious for something to be in this. I really miss him. Whatever, that's not everybody's opinion. It's fine.
In case anyone was wanting to know, I just thought I'd throw that out there
in case anyone cared. Paul Schneider, Mark,
reboot,
if you're listening.
Or something.
Oh my God, so good. And then Anne checks Leslie out at the hospital, and Leslie's like, if I was sick, could I do this? And she's like,
what are you doing?
Cartwheels. Am I not doing them?
That I thought was so good.
It is so good. And then this is, I think, it's not my favorite line, but it's just like her line reading is hilarious when she's laying in bed. And she's like, it's not that I don't trust Ben, it's that I don't have faith in Ben. And she just says it like so matter of factly, like there's no judgment or anything, but like right. It's the most judgmental thing ever.
Yes.
Yeah. So honest. And I also love that like she was already honest before this, like telling Ben what's what, but now with the flu, she's just like all bets are off. Like just a loopy. But yeah, I mean, Amy Poehler is just such a queen and so beyond great at acting in this.
Yeah.
Like, no wonder she was nominated for the Emmy for this. Like, it's insane. This character is perfect. I really laughed out loud at that line of, like, not having faith.
Yeah.
And she says she doesn't remember who Ben is.
Yeah.
She's like, also, I'm starting to forget who Ben is. Yeah. So maybe she really doesn't, like, not have faith in him. She just doesn't remember who he is.
Right.
Oh, my God. This next scene is where Ben and Tom are meeting to go over the presentation. And Tom says the worst thing to do is overprepare, so it's best if he goes to the spa. I love this dynamic of characters together because we haven't really seen them together, I feel. At least have, and even this one is a short one, but it just really gives you that glimpse into like, wow, they such different ideas, and then like as you go on into the series, this is like the beginning of it, which is wild. And I also think it's interesting because in that podcast, the Rob Lowe one, they talk about how, or Alan Yang I think mentioned this, where like when he was watching this episode, he thought it was really kind of like nostalgic to see them have their first like real scene together, because they're like BFFs now, you know what I mean? Aww, all of them. And I think what's his name, Adam Scott, was like in New York or something earlier this year, I think, and was like staying at Aziz's house, you know, and it was just like, oh my God, that's so wild, that's to so think about how it all started.
Yeah.
I can't imagine like being Alan Yang and watching this too, like being such a part of the crew and like the creation of it, and like seeing that.
All wild. The warm and fuzzies.
Yeah.
And then Tom's just like his philosophy about like, I mean, his relationship with Leslie of like, I don't promise Leslie anything, so she's never disappointed. And I was like, I get that. I mean, that makes sense for Tom, and it's funny just kind of observing how Ben, who maybe doesn't know Leslie as well, and Tom, who knows Leslie very well. And they're kind of different interpretations of like what's going to help Leslie best.
Right. That's true.
It's really interesting to me.
That's
because
so true.
You can tell. I mean, you know, the episode, like later in the episode, you figure it out. But like Tom's not worried.
Yeah. Oh, he
like not concerned at all.
Right.
And Ben's like, we've got to get this done and prep for this, because I think Tom already knows what's going to happen.
Right.
At
well,
the meeting.
And like we see, this is kind of like a little seedling, if you will, mm-hmm. because we see this is his personality in later episodes as well. Like when he is trying to smooze people or schmooze, whatever that word is, for, you know, other things that he does in his uh-huh. life, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like his thing is the, you know, presentation of it all,
right.
and building the connection and the networks right. and all that stuff, you know what I mean? And how it mm-hmm. looks, not like over preparing, but more so going with like your gut and like
right.
talking to these, you know, rich folks that know right. how they can donate or Spawny. Whatever.
At Spawny. Which was, to honestly, just looked like they just... like CGI'd over
oh, it did.
A grocery store.
It
or
really
like
did.
A Target or something.
No,
in a
it
strip
really
mall
did.
In California. That's hilarious.
I asked, oh my God. I looked up like where it was. I called Alan Yang and was like, so where'd you film this? No, I was looking up where it was and I couldn't find anything. But fun fact is that they, Amy Poehler said this on the commentary and Alan Yang confirmed it on the podcast too, that Aziz like is a very like heavy spa goer in real life. Like
really?
He one time apparently there was this place in like Koreatown or something that he used to frequent, and like he told Amy Poehler that she should go get like a massage or just go to the spa or whatever, and she like walked into this spa and he was already there. Like he was just hanging out doing his
yeah.
thing at the spa. So
right.
like they were trying to, I think they were blending in a lot of stuff from Aziz's right. life into the show.
That's awesome.
But I love imagining that. But yeah, that's a great point because, yeah, Ben doesn't really know what how Leslie operates, mm-hmm. and he also doesn't really know this town yet either.
Right.
But he's kind of just doing his structural thing that he
yeah.
does for every town.
Mm-hmm.
But I do love seeing, that's a great point, that I do love seeing that Tom, like, has his way of doing it that he, like, later... build on, I feel.
Right.
You know
mm-hmm.
what I mean?
Yeah.
Like when he does the like light show for Ron or whatever, which doesn't work anyway, but
right.
like he's like, it's just a nice little
yeah.
foreshadowing.
Uh-huh.
I like that also, yeah, that he never promises Leslie anything. Wanted to say that too. and then now we're back with Andy covering for April, and Andy's trying to answer the phone. I just love like you see where it's like, what do I press? What do I press? And then he
right.
hangs up and he's
yeah.
like, it's just funny how dirty that desk has gotten
mm-hmm.
within like 5 minutes of hours, maybe
mere hours or minutes, honestly
yeah. because there were like papers everywhere. He has a slinky now.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, what
yeah.
are you doing? Files everywhere. And then that was just like a brief second. Ron's
mm-hmm.
really happy that he dropped a call.
Yeah.
And now we're back at the hospital where Anne is putting on a brave face. She's like, I am not going to let April break me. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
I don't know how I would go about that. That'd be really hard.
It would be really hard.
Because April's really trying.
Yeah.
And then still at the hospital, Leslie's on the phone with Ben asking if she should write a rap song for the speech. Or maybe a show tune. You're too white for a rap.
Which coming from Leslie is hilarious.
I know, right?
Because like that's her go-to is like, I will rap. And then she's like, but you're
you
too
can't
white.
Do it.
Yeah, you're too white. So I'll do a show tune for you.
So funny. And then he says, he's trying to reassure her. He says he won't half-ass this, but Leslie's like, she's just not into it.
No.
She's just like, absolutely not. Because he says, you know, I'll just do the presentation. I'll do this, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And like that blah, blah, blah
no,
really
ma'am.
Hits her.
Mm-hmm.
She's like,
mm-hmm.
no, it is not blah, blah, blah.
Right.
I very much resonated with this. And I think a lot of women can where no, that's not how
no.
that goes.
Yeah.
No. You have to check off a list, sir.
Yeah.
But also you have to like put your heart into the list. Okay.
Right.
This is not. And like we talked about before, he's just doing what he was doing in with his other towns.
Right.
Not this one.
And this is not just another town for Leslie.
Right.
This is her town. This is her
Hello.
Passion. It's not blah, blah,
and
blah.
And she probably knows most of these business owners
oh, yeah.
or knows a lot of them anyway.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Crazy. Okay, so now we are at where Ron says he's going to go to Callahan's, but Andy says not to go because they skimp on pickles. So we should go to Big Head Joe's because they have great burritos. Love the name of Big Head Joe's. Yes. I looked up if there was a Callahan's or a Big Head Joe's. There's a Callahan's diner type restaurant in Elkhart, Indiana. Mm-hmm. But it's I don't think it's based off of this. But if you are in Elkhart, Indiana, Callahan serves breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And I'm sure they don't skimp on pickles. So no. Maybe they don't. I don't know. Who knows? And then Big Head Joe's is not a real place, but there is a Parks Wiki page. It's so funny. That was like one of the first things that came up when I typed in really? Big Head Joe's. And it says, in the reality of the show, Big Head Joe's is located at 140 Memorial Boulevard, which is just steps from City Hall and is home to the famous 9-pound burrito.
That tracks.
Which
that is the weight of a large baby.
Yes, literally.
Like not even a large baby, not even a regular baby.
And that's the meat tornado is the 9-pound one that Ron and Andy get. Literally killed a guy last year, says Andy. What?
You had me at meat tornado.
Apparently that was improvised too. That's
amazing.
Oh my God. Yeah, 9-pound burrito. I'm trying to imagine it.
Also, you can see it in the episode.
Oh, yeah. It's I need to take a picture huge. Of it.
It is huge. It's sitting to Ron's left.
Okay.
When he's at his desk, and it is, larger than his entire head.
Oh, my God. Included. Okay, I'll have to go back. Because I saw, where there's some sandwiches or whatever that they have, but they have so much food in there, so I gotta go back.
There's, a bag of chips and some, guac and salsa, and then I think, a nacho plate.
Oh, my.
And then Chris Pratt, Andy, has, half of a burrito eaten next to him, and then Ron, I think, has a full burrito next to him, and it's huge, and I'm like, is that fake or did they actually make a ginormous burrito, and how did they get a tortilla that big?
Great question. Yeah, for props people. I'm gonna have to ask.
I am
in
so good though.
Oh my God. I'm in talks with the guy who Jeffrey Mosser is his name. He's the head of the art department or whatever. Ooh, on Parks. Yeah. So hopefully we can talk. I think that's his name. But hopefully we can talk and chat about because I want to know about all those signs, the Harvest Festival signs were so beautiful, and who's responsible for all that. The art department isn't, I don't know if they're the same as the props people. I don't think that they would be, but they're in that same crew kind of field.
Umbrella,
so I'm sure they could, umbrella. So I'm sure that they could lead me in the right direction of that. Oh, yeah. That's a great question.
Yeah.
So now Leslie's trying to escape the hospital, and she uses her jeans as a scarf.
It's a scarf.
Does this go okay? Oh my God, it's so funny. Uh-huh. So now we are officially at Spawnee, which is the spa that Tom is at with a bunch of old white guys being his schmoozy self. There were so many deleted scenes here, actually. And there was a section where Tom isn't there. So the old, he hasn't gotten in the, or maybe he went to the bathroom or something. He's just not there. So the old guys are trying to do the thing that Tom does, but it falls short, where he's trying to imagine you're doing this or that.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, I forgot to say that this is the thing. And one of the old guys says, would you rather have a turkey sandwich or a ham sandwich, but keep in mind there's tomato on the turkey sandwich. And it's super awkward, and he's I'm not good at this. And then Tom comes in and just steals the show. Everybody loves him. And I was like, oh my God, that deleted scene. I get why they cut it for time and everything, but it kind of just shows a little bit more of he's not inserting himself into this situation. They really like having him as part of their crew.
He is the spice. He is the spice. he says.
That's so true.
And I want to know, Holly, would you rather have a tiny kangaroo in your belly pocket or live in the kangaroo pocket?
Wait, what was the
keep
stipulation?
Keep in mind, the kangaroo is racist.
Okay,
I have my thoughts.
Okay, wait. So, okay, you have to be either inside of the kangaroo or you are the kangaroo with a pocket.
You're yourself, but you have a kangaroo pocket with a tiny racist kangaroo in your pouch.
Or what?
In your belly pouch. Or you are in a racist kangaroo pouch.
What's yours?
Okay, so I went back and forth a lot about this.
It's very important.
I honestly feel like I would rather
have a tiny racist kangaroo in my belly pouch because I feel like
you can throw him away. I'm just kidding.
Well, I mean, like, at least like quiet him.
Yeah, yeah.
But if I'm in a racist kangaroo
you'll
pouch,
always be with it.
I will always be with it. And like, what if people He's get me. Upset with and I'm in danger?
Yeah.
But it's like, if I have a tiny kangaroo, I should be like, I'm so sorry, that's my racist kangaroo.
Oh my God, that's true. Yeah, I wonder if the stipulation also is that you have to have this tiny racist kangaroo inside of you for, or like inside your pouch forever.
Right. Does it grow up?
Yeah, that's a good call though. I like that. I like yours a lot better.
Because I thought, oh my God, it'd be so fun to like be in a kangaroo pouch, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah. But they're probably like, going to be really loud and go to MAGA and rallies.
Obnoxious and like potentially get beaten. And I'm like, I don't know if I want to be there.
Yeah, no thanks.
Because okay. at least then I would.
Or you could like
racist.
Lock it up really fast and then take him out when he needs like yeah. help.
Yeah, just like keep him in the pouch.
Okay.
And then release him when it's inconsequential if he wants to say racist things or not.
Yes. Okay. Excellent. You I love that. We agree. I agree with you. Okay. Yes, we're on the same page. I think that was a very sound and logical
yeah.
reasoning, and I approve.
And would you still want to fly even if it was 5 feet off the ground?
I still would.
I would too.
Because if you can fly 5 feet off the ground, you're still like,
I mean,
you know,
tall, it's
still
like
faster.
As tall as me. I'm like 5 foot, so like your feet would at least be at my head.
Right. Yeah.
Which is kind of helpful.
I'm down for that.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yep.
I'm hey, let us know, you guys, which you would prefer.
Yes, I'll have to put that in the poll as well.
Yeah. I would like to know. Let's play the game.
Oh my God. That was a great little round. I just had to take a moment of presence. Okay. This is all Norm Hiscock, by the way, the writer of this episode that came up with this whole idea of Tom being in the spa and like all this stuff.
I love
so,
it.
Norm, great Props. Job.
Yes.
For sparking this conversation.
Yeah.
Oh my God. So Ed, who is one of the old men in the hot tub, mm-hmm. is played by Terrence Beezer. And he's been in a ton of things. He was Bill Kress in the Office episode Chair Model, which is hilarious. So as a reminder, at first I thought he played Dunder or Mifflin, but he's actually one of the top five business owners of Scranton when Andy and Kevin are trying to get the construction crew out of the parking lot and they have to like, you know, get the meeting yeah. together with all five people. He's one of he's the old guy.
I love it.
Which is crazy.
That is so fun.
I knew he looked familiar. He's wearing glasses in The Office, though. Not in this one, though. So he looks a little different.
Mm-hmm.
But he's also been in The Middle, Star Trek. He's been in an episode of Andy Tribeca, which is Rashida Jones' show.
Mm.
And he's been working since 1979. So wow. he has a lot on his record, which is yeah. incredible. He did have more in the deleted scenes, by the way, which was really interesting. I think more so than just the one that I was talking
mm-hmm.
about. But his agent, I reached out to his agent and he said that he's basically retired and isn't really working as much. So, which I totally understand. Hello.
Well, since 79, I mean.
You deserve to take a break, sir.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Thank you for your service.
Well deserved.
It's great. You made us laugh.
Enjoy the fruits of your labor.
Yes. And then there's another guy, Preston, who is played by Michael McGreevy, who is also a pretty big producer as well as an actor, interestingly. He produced the TV series Fame, not the movie Fame, but the TV series, which I haven't watched because I've watched the movie, but not the TV series. Right. I didn't even know like that there really was one.
Honestly, was unaware.
Which is wild.
So
it was back, I think, in like the late 70s, maybe early 80s, something like that. And he also produced a lot of the ABC After School specials, which is wild because they were literally called After School specials. Like that was the name of it. It was called ABC After School
right,
specials,
not just a description.
Correct.
Yeah,
and that's what we use it as now. Like, oh, relax, uh-huh. this isn't an afternoon or whatever the hell
right.
after school special. But like that was a real name, which I'm sure to like, you know, an older audience member, they'd be like, duh. But I was like, I didn't know that. But he's also a pretty well-known writer. He wrote an episode of the 70s Wonder Woman, the one that was in the 70s.
Ooh.
When I say 70s Wonder Woman, I'm like, she was in 70. I don't know why. Anyway, just needed to clarify that.
I mean, she could have been.
Right. Yeah, she could have been. He also wrote an episode of the TV show Incredible Hulk back in 79, which is insane. And then his father, John McGreevy, was also a very prominent writer. And the last thing that Michael McGreevy, a.k.a. Preston, the one that was in the hot tub with Tom, acted and produced in was in 2015. So I'm not super sure if he's still acting now, which I wouldn't blame him if he wasn't, because he's been working for a long time as well. Right. So I don't know. But yeah, so that was him. And then I don't know who the third guy is. I thought I did, but I couldn't, like, he wasn't on IMDb. So if you're the third guy, or you know the
raise
third
your
guy,
hand. Raise your hand.
Please let
me
know.
We want to know.
Yeah. Yes. So now, this is so funny. So now Chris got sick.
Oh, Lord.
Now we're at where Chris is sick. And Anne is awkward around him because she's like, I saw you a couple of hours ago and you seem fine. Not like, damn, you're fine, but like, right. You're fine.
Trying so hard.
Which is really funny, actually, and probably good that she was awkward in this moment, because I'm sure Chris won't even remember it, honestly.
Right.
Because Chris is freaking the F out. He's like, not even there.
Microchip has been compromised.
Yes, it's been compromised. Yes. Seriously. And then there's a commentary moment when everyone is talking about being sick in front of a date. And I recorded it because I thought it was so funny. Like, this is what I mean by they were going on tangents and improvising on the commentary. I'll just play it.
You were fine.
Nothing makes a relationship equal than seeing somebody throw up and poop themselves.
Yeah, that's really true. That's how you and Will met.
Mm-hmm. I do it on the first date every time. We just get it out of the way.
It's your move.
Because usually the status is so off, you know? They're all like, oh my God, how am I going to date with her? And then I just go, relax, here, and I throw up and poop myself.
It's a good filter, too, because it's like, if they can't handle it, you don't want to be with them anyway.
Exactly. That's human. That's life, man. Yeah, that's human. That's human being. I poop myself, and I throw up every day. That's what people do.
That's what it means to be on Earth, on this planet. And to be honest, sometimes it doesn't really work out. Like, sometimes you do that on a first date, and it kind of freaks people out, right?
Yeah, well, then you rule out, you know.
Yeah, then you move on.
Right.
It's really funny, Adam Scott, like, and we've talked about this before, where, like, he wasn't an improviser before he was an actor.
Right.
And so it's really funny to hear them talk, because he always plays the straight man, I feel, to their, like, he can improv in the show, like, as him, right. Like, now that he knows kind of what he's doing and everything. And he even did that, I think, in Step Brothers a little bit. But, like, it's just funny because Amy has been improvising / doing sketch for 1,000 years. And she is, like, a masterclass in that. So it's really hilarious. And then they go on to improv something about how she dated Tom Hanks. And, like, she threw up and pooped herself on that date. And he was like, but he was really nice about it. Blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, my God. I could listen to that for hours.
Yeah. 100%. That's hilarious.
She says, she was like, I lost some good guys to that tactic. I wrote that down in the commentary.
That's hilarious.
I had to play it, though. It's so funny.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Okay. So now Andy and Ron are talking about sports.
Mm-hmm.
This was the most sportsy episode I feel that we've had so far, as far as like all the references and everything.
I mean, I didn't understand any of it, so
I did Google a lot of it, so I will hopefully help you understand. But I can't remember. I think it Alan Yang is a really big sports person, and so I think Norm Hiscock is too, who wrote this. So I think that they like try to sprinkle in as much as they can when they can.
Right.
Okay, so Andy says Pierre Garçon was a 6th round pick. He was a wide receiver for the Indianapolis Colts. Maddie will be really proud of me because she's more of a sports person than I am.
Yeah.
But I Googled this, and she can pick back up if there's like a recap for next episode if I missed anything. But he was a wide receiver for the Indianapolis Colts. And in his bio, it does say he was drafted in the 6th round. So in the NFL draft, he was drafted in the 6th round. And like that's why they're talking about like the Colts know how to draft. Like they know who to pick. And he played with the Washington football team, I think first or second. I can't remember if that was before or after the Colts, but he played for them. And then he was with the 49ers. And then in 2019, they didn't renew the contract. So now he's free. He's a free agent. I don't know like what he's doing now, or if he retired or what, but he's not with the Colts anymore or the 49ers. And then the 4th round pick that Ron is talking about is named Austin Colley. So that's who he was talking about. And in case anyone was wondering, there are 7 rounds in an NFL draft pick. And so when he says like he was a sixth round pick, he was a fourth round pick, there are a total of seven when they're doing it. And that's really the only detail that I looked up, because drafting is like, people could talk about that for 100,000 years on like the strategy.
Totally. And my husband does. And I'm just like, cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Like fantasy football league even.
Oh yeah. It's a thing, man. And I respect it. I don't understand it.
Yeah.
Do I have a desire to understand it? No.
Yeah.
I just, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that people are into it. Yeah. I'm super glad. But yeah,
that whole. Who's your sports team, or who's your husband's sports team, I should say?
Well, he's born and raised Nashville. So Predators, Titans.
Got it.
You know, kind of. He went to UT. So
the Vols. Of course.
Which we were at that terrifying game where everyone started throwing things.
Really?
Yeah.
That was. I remember that being on the news. Oh, you were at that game?
I was at that game. It was actually kind of scary, to be honest with you.
So, like, people next to you were throwing stuff, too?
Yeah.
Or was
one
it
of
more
the,
people,
one of
like,
the friends we were with got hit section? In the back of the head. Or, no, the people in front of us got hit in the back of the head with a beer can. Yeah. People were just starting. It was wild.
Who were they playing? Like, why did it even get so crazy anyway?
I think maybe it was Ole Miss. And it got so crazy because... And I'm so sorry, sports people, if it wasn't Ole Miss. It was a Mississippi. It was either Mississippi State or Ole Miss or whatever. If they're the same thing, I'm so sorry. But the whole thing was that one of this coach's tactics is, like, faking injuries to, like, stop games and stuff. And so, like, literally they'd be, like, all ready to go to, like, hike the ball and start the play. And then one of the team members would literally just fall to the ground and, like, stop
the game. It was
Ole
Miss, by the way. You were right.
Oh, look at me. So sportsy. Anyway, yeah, and so ahead. People started getting super pissed because they were just like elongating this game and like faking injuries forever. And it was just a bunch of BS, honestly.
That's terrifying. So yeah. Did you guys like rush out?
Well, yeah. I mean, once the game was over.
Or were you like, this is going to end soon? Like, we can wait it out kind of thing. It just started getting scary.
I think it had to go into like overtime, I think. And it was, there was a lot of tension. Like you just feel it in the whole place. And it's like a lot of people,
of course,
you know, and things were getting kind of rowdy. And so we stayed until I think the end, but it was, I was freaked out.
Yeah, I would
for
be too.
Sure. Cause like people were angry.
Yeah.
And there was thousands upon thousands of people. And I was like, I don't want to be
right
in a mob with angry people.
No. Like, oh my God. So you said you did stay till the end?
We did, yeah.
Oh my God. And you didn't get hurt or anything. Mm-mm. And did they end up stopping? Did the police like do something or?
Yeah, they like stopped the game and were telling people like, don't throw stuff onto the field, brr, 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 but no one listened.
Oh my God.
It was wild. It was weird.
I know. I don't know what I would have done.
It was scary.
I feel like I would have been in shock.
I would like to go home.
Did Jordan like want to stay?
I can't remember. I think he like wanted to go home too. We were with a group of folks and I think we were trying to decide like, is it better to leave now with some of the angry people or is it better to leave later when there's going to be less people around? Because people were leaving earlier too. So it was kind of like, when is the best time to get out of here?
Oh my God. That's terrifying.
Yeah, it was really
sports people can be wild. I mean, having Maddie and I can both attest to like the Boston fans, like they are diehard and they will like literally kill for their team.
Yeah.
It's
really,
insane.
It's really scary.
Woof. Well, I'm glad you're okay and that you didn't get hit.
Yeah. Same.
My God.
Yeah. Anyways, that was crazy. Tangent. We were talking about sports with Ron and Andy.
Yes.
And so, they go to play football.
Right.
In the
parking lot. NFL draft picks. Okay. That's what
that's
about.
Right. That's right.
Crazy. Mm-hmm. But okay, wait. It may be because I was saying that Alan Yang and maybe Norm Hiscock. I think Hiscock, rather. I think both of them are sports fans. Mm-hmm. But I did see actually in my notes that the commentary had Mike Schur saying that the talk of sports was a direct copy of a conversation him and his friend had.
Nice.
So he is mostly the one that likes to get in all his sports talk. So, okay, Mike Schur. Yeah, that's all thanks to him. And then, yeah, there's so much food. And then I love Ron's line of, I'm surrounded by women in this office, and that includes the men.
Such like a man's man thing to say.
So true.
Like so true to his character. It's hilarious.
Absolutely. So yeah, and it's nice to see, like we talked about kind of seeing Ben and Tom together, a new relationship.
Right.
We're kind of seeing, you know, Andy and Ron together.
Right.
And you're seeing that kind of fatherly thing also with Andy.
Absolutely.
Too,
and I think that's kind of paving the way for that relationship really to work, right? Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, as we get farther along, I feel like Ron is going to care about who April ends up with.
Absolutely.
Whether he thinks he's going to or not, or wants to care about it or not. But to have this moment where he's like, Andy's all right. Like, mm-hmm. I like Andy. I think that helps set up that relationship super well.
Yes. And it helps after they spent the whole day together for him to tell where April is. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Because like, because he's like, oh God, I really care about him too. And I want them both to be happy. Yeah. So like, mm-hmm. Even though it's kind of not, it's a betrayal, but not really a betrayal. Right. It's like, Oh, and then they go out to the parking lot and they run around. It's so hilarious. this was in the parking lot of the studio at CBS Radford, if anyone is curious.
Nice.
Basically, all of those outdoor shots, like when they're in a parking lot or at the Radford lot. Andy says Reggie Wayne. And that's not the first time we hear his name. It's so funny. And it's so wild to see this like little seedling of Reggie Wayne, mm-hmm. Like just being said randomly. Sure. And then we get to see him in whatever season it is when they actually go to the Colts Stadium. And in the show.
Yeah.
It's so wild. And then it's just really cute to watch them together because they're like playing in grade school kind of thing. And
oh, Ron's 100%.
Like, and his giggle, Nick Offerman's giggle.
He's like, Andy.
That really wait gets, up.
Yeah.
Like they're literally on the schoolyard or something.
Yeah.
It's so cute.
Uh-huh.
So now we're at the hospital. And now, April likes this bear apparently because she's sleeping on it. Mm-hmm. And so just saying.
Yeah. But isn't that April though? I mean, that like hard exterior.
True.
And then at the end of the day, it's like she really does have the capacity to love. Right?
You're right. She's just trying to be cute about, or not cute, but she's trying to be like surly about it.
Yeah.
And then she tells Anne she needs more flu medicine. That's her literal line. So back to that thing. But it turns out Leslie stole the flu medicine and escaped.
Chris has a hallucination that Leslie came in here, disappeared through that hole. Well, he's like, the door?
Yes, exactly. He's calling that, oh my God, that hole in the wall.
Yeah.
The door? Now, we're at the Chamber of Commerce, and Leslie says that the cab she took had Egyptian hieroglyphics because she asks Ben to help her pay.
Right.
And he's like, how much do you need? And she's like, I don't know. Do you know the exchange rate for Egyptian hieroglyphics?
The exchange rate.
That was a great line.
It was.
I actually love that. I think it's so smart.
It was funny.
So good. And then, oh my God, she's clearly gone wild because now she's saying that the floor and the wall just switched. She's careful.
Whoa. Yeah.
She's going, walk very carefully.
Yeah. I can't believe that I wonder how many takes that took when she's walking in front of him, like super goofy, and he's watching her. I mean, I wouldn't have been able to keep a straight face, honestly.
I know. I think they laughed a lot, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. Apparently, the line when she turns to the poster and says, I'm Leslie Monster and this is Nightline, apparently that was improv too.
Really?
Which, by the way, are you familiar with Avenue Q at all?
No.
The musical? No. Oh my gosh. Okay. It's a great musical. It's basically Sesame Street for adults is what I like to say. Because there's lots of like cursing and being an adult and like having, you know, purpose in life. There's a really song called Purpose. But the main character is named, not Lucy. Fuck. It's something Monster. And so,
oh, really?
So I'm always like, wait, shit. Now I have to look it up. Everyone's probably yelling at me. Characters. Something Monster. There's a bunch like Trekkie Monster, but the main one is Kate Monster. Kate Monster.
Okay.
And so I don't know if that, I'm sure that wasn't really anything to do with it, but I thought that was really hilarious to me. And like basically everybody's last name, just like, well, not similar, but like everybody's last name in Avenue Q is like what their actual like species are.
Sure.
So like she's a monster kind of thing and whatever. Anyway, so that was really wild. And then we're talking about Ron and Andy are talking over the grill, by the way, which like the grill is in his office, but the window's open. I was like, what? The courtyard's right there. Why are you? What? Oh, my God. And they're talking about libertarianism and communism and religious oligarchy. That was the Norm Hiscock line, the writer who wrote this, obviously. Like on the commentary, I believe, or maybe it was the podcast. I can't remember which one I was listening to where they were like, oh, that's all Norm, like, that he knows and wants to bring in religious oligarchy to this comedy show.
Right. But it worked. It worked.
It did. It worked perfectly.
It was funny.
I love Andy's line of, I can remember things.
Yeah.
Like he's a child.
Yeah.
So funny. And then we're back at the hospital. And this is where Chris has his kind of runner of all the things that he's doing. Uh-huh. He's really suffering. He's standing up, leaning against the table. He's saying he vomited somewhere in the room, but he doesn't know where. And then he's like, oh, maybe that drawer. And then he has to stop
pooping. One of my favorite lines of this episode, for sure.
It's so good. Mm-hmm. There, apparently, there was like a 20-minute take. They said this on the commentary where they just kind of like let the cameras roll and let Rob Lowe do like whatever. And they would hand him alt lines and stuff like that. And that was one that worked. I thought they made him look phenomenal, by the
way. Like sick?
Yes.
Yes. He looked terrible.
So sick.
Yeah.
So dehydrated and gray, like gaunt. I was like, the makeup department did a great job. Like making him look really sweaty and gross.
Snaps
too.
Through the makeup department. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So good. And yeah, I had this note that it's really interesting, especially after this episode, to see that Chris and Ben were only signed on for 6 episodes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And this is the 4th. So really they only have 2 episodes left, and to imagine the rest of the show without them.
Oh my gosh.
It's really wild.
Yeah.
So yeah, I just thought that was a note to point out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and Anne really loves this because it humanizes Chris.
Yeah. Less intimidating.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
100%. And still so funny to me. Not funny, I guess, but wild to me that Anne hasn't gotten sick yet, even though she's around all these sick people.
Totally. Her immune system just rocks.
I know, right? And yeah, Chris is on the floor. He's passed out. And he says, the floor is my friend now.
The floor is my friend now.
Love it. All right, so now we're back at the conference. Do you have anything before that? Any notes? Mm-mm. Any thoughts?
No.
Okay.
No, we're good.
We're back in the conference, or at the conference, rather. Mm-hmm. Leslie's about to go up there. Tom's doing his schmoozy thing with the guys from Spawnee.
Mm-hmm.
And Ben's, like, being all judgmental and like, oh, thanks for showing up, buddy.
Right.
But it turns out that Tom did show up and show out because he got 25 vans for the Harvest Festival from these guys.
Right.
And I like that, that they show, like, he is not just in it for the schmoozing, like to be cool and go to the spa and just like be dumb about it. Mm-hmm. Like it's very strategic on his end, like stupid a little bit, obviously for the people that like lists and whatever.
Right.
But in his own way, he really pulled through.
Well, yeah. And like we talked about before, he knows the town.
Yeah.
He knows the people. He knows Leslie and what she's going to do and what she's not going to do. And so I think it's like... someone told me this like a couple weeks ago and I can't remember the context, but they were like, you know, like genius and like laziness, very fine line between like, I mean, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, I feel like some people who you would maybe say like lazy or like apathetic, it's like sometimes they're the most creative people to figure out how to solve or get something done, like solve a problem or get something done. And I thought this was so kind of encompassed that. Yeah, because I mean it wasn't how someone would normally go about trying to get 25 vans donated, but it worked. And basically Tom, like,
he puts his own stamp on
it. Yeah, he had his cake and he ate his cake. And I was like, well, good for you if you can do that. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah, well, and I just love it. It reminded me of when he was trying to get people to come to the Snake Hole Lounge. And he was like, are you going to come to this opening or are you going to be a little bitch? do that.
Right.
And so they're not conventional. And then again, we're still in the growing phase of him where he's like still really immature, I feel, and like half of this is just so that he can like have some clout.
Right.
But we're starting to see where that could pay off, like for entrepreneurship and for the parks department and like for actually doing his job.
And he actually cares about Leslie.
Yeah. But I think the reason why Ben was so judgmental about it is because if Tom had told him like, I'm schmoozing so that I can get these bitches to donate this stuff, then like he'd be like, okay, I think he would still be judgmental, but maybe he would at least know what's going on. Whereas Tom was like, I'm just gonna go for a spa moment and not do anything while you work really hard, you know.
Well, going back to, you never promise anything because then you don't disappoint.
That's true.
So he totally lived that out with Ben. Because he's like, I'm not gonna, if it doesn't work, then he doesn't have anything to be mad about.
So true.
Right.
Great point.
He's living his...
He's doing what he said he would.
Yeah, he is. He's doing it.
So Ben says he can't let her do this. Leslie says, hey, this ain't your call, McCluskey. And I walked looked up what that was from, and I can't really find much about it. Like, I Googled that so many times. So she just kind of
made up that name?
I guess. There was a quote from The Godfather that had a character, McCluskey. So it could be that, or I don't know, just something that Leslie says in her flu-like state. I just, right. I have no earthly idea.
That's funny.
And so now, before we get to her, like, actually speaking and everything, mm-hmm. we flash back or switch back to Andy talking to Ron about his problem with April. And this is where Ron tells him that yeah. where April is mm-hmm. With the flu. And I just love this so much. Andy hugs Ron so hard. It's so cute. Nice way to yes. seal the friendship. Obviously, Ron hates it, but you can also tell he loves it. Yeah. In, like, a weird way. He's, like, mm-hmm. this push-pull of, like, oh, God, I don't like this, right. like, comfortability. But also, uh-huh. it's very nice. Oh my God. And so then we've got where Tom is saying it's ladies' night at the Snake Hole Lounge before he introduces Leslie. And I think it's so hilarious to me that he just brings one flyer. I was expecting right. him to like hand out the flyer, but then right. like it flashes to the podium and you see that his flyer is still there just, while Leslie's giving her speech. Yeah. And it's like all creased up and folded like it was in his jacket. Yeah. And I was like, you're not going to pass it out.
And like if he needed a flyer to remember that one thing, yes. drinks are two for one. And I love that he's like, wait a second, that's a great deal. That can't be true. And he's like, it's true.
It's true.
And it's like, what?
Oh my so God. Funny. It's so funny. And yeah, this is where she nails it. And Ben is freaking out and so impressed yeah. and shocked by Leslie because and impressed. She's so yeah. impressed and like taken aback, you know, because she's definitely using all these like jargon and big phrases and words like mm-hmm. I wrote one down. It's direct customer to business exposure is right. incalculable. And yeah. I was like, when you were just saying you were Leslie Monster and there were hieroglyphics and the floor and the wall had changed, what? Right, like, yeah. wild. So I think that's insane. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, I just really love seeing Anne's, or not Anne, sorry, Ben's little face to camera. Like, he has a look to camera like three times or whatever where he's like,
right. like, what is happening?
Oh my God.
Yeah.
A little gym face moment, but uh-huh. you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I love that.
Mm-hmm.
And now we are at where Anne is off her shift now, so she can
Three, two, one.
What are you doing? Yeah. I love that so much because she's no longer on the clock. She makes some very valid points.
Oh,
and I
yeah.
feel like she was being very mature as far mm-hmm. as like the actual words that she was saying. Maybe right. not yelling, but like, hello, she, okay, April deserves it. Okay, right. get out of my face.
100%.
And then she says, that's the most I've ever liked Anne. My God. So funny. Yeah, so now we're back at the conference and Ben is super mega impressed and it's like, for me, it was weird because this is where he starts making all the sports references. And I was like, this isn't Ben. Ben doesn't know sports, right. at least from what I could, maybe, I don't know, even like, I was going to say maybe like, now that I know him and we've seen all mm-hmm. all of his character for the whole episode or for the whole series, like maybe that's why I think that. But I even think like in these first couple episodes, I just don't know that he would care about it, especially because when he was talking about the basketball teams last week and he was like, we have to have two opposing basketball teams because everyone hates you and calls you names like turd boy. If you don't have a basketball team, he like doesn't right. care about sports. OK,
no, I thought it would have played more effectively maybe if he would have used like some sort of Star Wars reference
yes!
or some sort of like board game reference
yes.
or some sort of just something a little
totally.
More
a little Dungeons and Dragons like yes. winning moment uh-huh. and I do yes and that like those specific details I'm sure didn't come until later mm-hmm. As far as him being so nerdy, but like yeah the sport there yeah it, I just think Mike Sherry and Norm wanted to get in their sports references. Now the sports references themselves were actually phenomenal, so I will read them to you because again I googled them. One of them was that was a flu ridden Michael Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
So like that one, I guess, like could be something that the average person could say.
Mm-hmm.
But that is based off of when he was in, I believe it was either the All-Star game or another game. But they said that he had the flu while he played and mm-hmm. he still played phenomenally.
Yeah.
And it was later debunked. Well, debunked, not really debunked, but it was later found out that it actually might have been food poisoning and not
yeah.
the flu.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, he was not in good shape and he still played amazingly. Right. So that's how he's mm-hmm. comparing her to Michael Jordan. And then the other person was that was Kirk Gibson hobbling up to the plate and hitting a homer off Dennis Eckersley. Nobody who doesn't know sports would know what the F that means.
Right. I mean, I did not.
I was like, Ben, you don't know that. Right. But it's just funny because we talk about I think, or no, we talk about, again, there I go again, pretending that I'm just a part of the Parks crew.
You are.
The commentary says that Adam Scott says, he was like, that's the most I've ever talked about basketball or baseball ever. So, like, he kind of agrees.
Yeah.
I'll make sure. But anyway, so to explain this Kirk Gibson thing, so he spent most of his career with Detroit Tigers, and he also played for the Los Angeles Dodgers, the Kansas City Royals, and the Pittsburgh Pirates. So to explain this reference in particular, with the Dodgers is who he was playing with in 1988, and Kirk Gibson faced a closer. I'm ready to call him a closer. Dennis Eckersley in the ninth inning, which is like
the ninth inning
is the end. Isn't it like even further? What, like, isn't it technically only eight innings? Am I lying?
I have no idea.
Oh my God. How many innings?
Is this embarrassing for us?
There are nine. Okay, I'm so sorry. Yeah.
No, you're fine.
So I thought, like, because you know how after when it's a tie, they add an inning or whatever the fuck? Okay, sorry. Anyways, no, it was the end. You are right.
Yeah.
It was the end of the ninth inning. And that's also like a saying, I think, in real life when you're like, you're, okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, so they hit a, I'm going to say a lot of words
that you don't understand.
So he faced Dennis Eckersley in the ninth inning and hit a pinch hit walk-off home run. Okay. So a pinch hit is is a baseball player who is sent in to bat for another person. So, and we
sub. Why don't they just say sub?
I don't know. It's a sub. Yeah. And it, so basically we also use this in real life as well, which is very fascinating. There are lots of sports references that we use in real life. It's so basically a person who does another's in work in an emergency. So like say you needed to take off work or something, like my coworker took a pinch hit for me.
No one says that.
But I've heard people say that. Yes, not a lot. Nobody really says that. Are you kidding me? But I've heard someone, maybe it's mostly in TV. Maybe that's where I've heard it.
I mean, I've literally never heard that in my life.
Or maybe it was in a book.
I would say I'm in a pinch. I need you to sub for me.
I'm in a pinch. I need you to hit for me. Maybe that's where it comes from.
Maybe.
Okay, anyway. So much sports. Okay, so basically, yes, Kirk Gibson wasn't even supposed to be on the field, basically. Okay, so sure. He was the sub, pinch hit. And it's often described as one of the most exciting moments in World Series history. Whoa. And he was named to the All-Star team twice in 1985 and 1988, but he declined the invitation both times.
Why?
For reasons unknown. Do not know. Which is wild. But anyway, so that is who Kirk Gibson and Dennis Eckersley is. And Dennis Eckersley was like apparently this really big like closer guy. And well, like nobody could go against him. But it was the ninth inning. Like nobody was expecting anything to happen.
Right.
And then Kirk Gibson comes on, who's not even supposed to be the main guy anyway. And like knocks it out of the park.
Amazing.
So.
Well, I mean, the references track for what Leslie just did.
Yeah, absolutely. But, yeah. And that's why I think that it's. Those like ones that are so dramatic because what Leslie did was insane.
Yeah.
Whew. Okay. So, I did want to say before I end it. Now, Kirk Gibson is a commentator for the Detroit Tigers baseball, which he used to be a player on.
Sure.
So yeah,
full circle.
And then Ben ends his line or his like little sports moment with that was Leslie Knope.
I love that. He's learning.
He's learning.
He's admiring. He's getting it. He's understanding why Tom was the way he was.
Yeah.
In that moment.
Yeah. That this is not like normal. You know what
I
mean?
No.
Yeah. So, okay. Now I think would be a good time to take a little moment and to play Maddie's voice memo because I don't know what she's going to say and I'm excited to hear it. So let's just go ahead and
come on
and play it. Okay. So here's one.
Okay, this is one of my favorite episodes of all time, so I took very, very short notes, but I just wanted to say all these things, so I'm doing like a speed round because I think this might fit better. Okay, so April having new boyfriend and being petty about Andy and Anne because she is dating somebody, but now she's in the hospital and she's all mad at Anne about Andy. Very clear. Leslie always in denial. She said she already vomited 5 times today, and of course she's still working. Also, when she's back in the office, does she pour straight emergency like into her mouth, like the powder? Because that's what it looks like. And then it looks like she adds it to her water, but like it looks like she actually legit just pours the powder in her mouth. I love the line, one of my favorites. You look tired and you're sweaty all the time, Jerry. I think she says, you want to go there? And that, love that line. Also, then Chris is at the hospital and he's like wearing a mask and he's all careful, but then he's still planning to go hang out with Anne the next day. Is he going to wear a mask on their date? Like, that's my thought process. I don't know. Maybe I'm just like in that COVID mind of like, he's what doesn't want to be, exposed. Okay. Andy's face when he's sipping his drink with the long ass straw. And then Ron's face when he realizes that he's found the perfect replacement for April. I have to get ready for the Chamber of Secrets. I love that line so much. Also, the improv of network connectivity problems. Oh my gosh. It's one of my favorites. And Chris Pratt is amazing. It's hilarious. And I think it's one of the best lines in the entire show. Definitely my favorite line from the episode. Leslie doing cartwheels. Ivan always does this with me too when he's not feeling well. He quotes this. I relate so hard with Anne and the tongue depressors. I have that as a note because there are times where you're like, I have to put a smile on my face and I really just want to be punching something. Ron's laugh when they hit the, when Andy hits the car catching the football, like his laugh running all the way away from the beeping car is hilarious and wonderful. And I think we've heard Holly that it's, that's like his genuine laugh. Chris is obviously in the worst shape out of any flu patient that Anne is helping right now, and I want to know, is like he actually more sick than everyone else because his body isn't used to being sick, or is he just being super dramatic because he feels like he's dying? Love this line of the Egyptian hieroglyphics. Do you know the exchange rate? One of the best lines of this episode as well. Also love, good evening everyone, I'm Leslie Monster and this is Nightline. One of my favorites as well. And Ben's responsive, I wouldn't open with that. Amazing. Also absolutely, absolutely love this part where Chris is looking into the mirror and says, stop pooping. I love how amazed Ben is by Leslie's ability to turn things around and be cognizant and completely make sense for like 5 minutes of a presentation before she goes crazy again. But I just love his face, and how amazed he is with Leslie. And then also, I love that we see Chris and Ben falling in love with Pawnee and maybe the women in Pawnee because they're asking for an extension. So I know that was like a super speed round of all the things, but I love this episode, so I had to put something in there about my favorite things. And I hope you guys love the episode just as much. And I know Holly is going to do a great job giving you guys all the information around all the special things.
Yay!
Love it.
Let me play the second one. I think it was... Or maybe it's the same one. Okay, this is one of my favorite episodes. Yeah. Oh, no, it's the same one. I think she just sent it twice because just in case. But yeah, okay. I was taking a tiny bit of notes just like before before I move on from hers. Tongue depressors. I totally forgot about that. Thank you for bringing that up, Maddie.
Just snapping them.
Yeah, I could totally see Maddie doing that. and me too. But yeah, great idea, Anne. Yes, Nick Offerman's laugh. That is his real laugh. We have heard that many times before. And yeah, glad that... I know, it's great. Yeah, glad that you talked about the emergency as well, because that's how we felt. We were like, mm-hmm. What even is that?
Yeah.
And then great point, yeah, about Chris being more sick than everyone else. I didn't even really think about that, but that's probably true to some degree, you know, because like he doesn't really have an immune system, I feel, you know?
Right.
Or you would think that his immune system is better because he's working out and eating healthily, but
I think maybe
because of body fat.
I think maybe it's just that he's not used to feeling sick. So maybe he's like, oh my gosh, I'm going to die.
Yeah.
And he just doesn't know how to handle that.
Yeah. 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 That's so true. That's a great point, too. Mm. And then, of course, always stop poping. Oh my God. Thank you, Maddie, for sending that in. Yes, this is her most favoriteest episode ever. So I'm so glad that she could send that stuff in. Also, one of the things that they mentioned was that, and by they, I mean, I think Alan Yang and Rob Lowe said this, but I don't know who said it, but regardless, it's very true that this could be one of the episodes that you introduce somebody to Parks with, because you don't quite need to know the what happened last episode, although it will make it better.
Right.
But you don't quite need to know. No. But you know, it's something that you can like bring in, and there's so much comedy and so much like gelling together. Like it would really be a good introduction to someone that's not familiar with Parks, I feel. Right. So if anyone has friends that don't watch Parks, and believe it or not, I do have those friends, and I'm trying to
get them on the train.
Get them on the train. I don't know why I'm friends with them.
Like, listen, I love you, but if you're not going to watch Parks, okay. I don't know.
You don't have to listen to the podcast, although that would be great, but, like, you got to watch Parks, okay?
Yeah.
Anyway, so there is this, we're back at the conference now. There's this audience person, business person guy who asks a question about tax incentives, and Leslie asks why his face is all swirly. So this is where Ben can actually step in, and he can do, like, the logistical stuff,
right?
Which is really nice.
They're making a team.
Yeah, they're making a team.
I love it.
Oh, my God. I also, I love that he says, she says, give it up for Scott Bakula from Quantum Leap. For Adam Scott or Ben.
Yeah.
I had to look that up because I totally thought that she was making up a name, like accidentally saying Bakula instead of real. Dracula or something. But yeah, Quantum Leap is a sci-fi show that ran from 1989 to 1993. And Scott Bakula plays a scientist and an experiment goes wrong.
That's so funny.
So weird. Like, wow. She's just, we're bringing out all the references this one. All right. So I wanted to mention that this business person that asks this question about the business incentives or tax incentives, rather, is named Frank Noon. And he has worked on Needs, Nip Tuck, Shameless, a lot of others. I love his reaction. He's like, what? Like, what?
Yeah.
Was that my question?
Right.
I love also this next one that Leslie says. She's like, was I wearing a tiara when I came in here? Yeah. If you happen upon it, please tell Lady Pennyface to retrieve it and send it post-tense. So detailed, I can't get over it. That seemed like an improv, honestly.
It did.
I mean, everything kind of does. Oh, side note, in the background of Leslie saying that, because I like went back so I could write down what the line was, and in the background I hear Ben saying chocolate covered popcorn. like as he's at the podium, he must be answering a question or something.
That's hilarious.
I'm very intrigued.
Yeah.
Why he's talking about chocolate covered popcorn.
What was the question?
I know. It's at minute 19:12 if anyone is interested. So yeah, I don't know, but I thought that was fun to point out. Okay, anything before we get to the hospital?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this is where Ben brings Leslie some waffles and chicken soup. And it's so precious and so nice.
I know. She goes straight for the waffles.
Straight for the waffles. Nobody needs that chicken soup. No. It's so cute that Ben, like, I'm just imagining him making it and, like, chopping everything up. He went to the store so he could buy it and, like, make it for her. It's a special family recipe.
Right.
Ugh. But there is this deleted scene / blooper moment where Amy Poehler is improvising and they eat the soup after the waffles. And oh my God, I'm going to play the scene for you because it's so
like, I really want to see it.
Silly.
Oh, good. I kind of feel like the chicken soup would be good with this.
Let's bring it in.
I feel like we made a wrong turn.
Yeah. Yeah. That's kind of gross.
Yeah, it's pretty disgusting.
Wait, let's dump this suit down the toilet.
No, it's actually still pretty good on its own. I'm the toilet.
It's just really funny because she's like going, like, all that blank space, she's laughing. She's like leaning over. So they dip the waffle in the chicken noodle soup, and that's where they're like, what?
Yeah.
But it just, like, she improvised, like, we should
just throw it down the toilet.
Yeah. And then Adam Scott was like,
it's pretty good soup.
Have to put it in the right, like, down the toilet.
That's so funny.
Oh my God. So then we learn here that they needed 80 businesses. And they get 110.
Way to go, Leslie.
Bow, 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 bow. Yes. What a success. They both compliment each other and they say nice work and, like, so exciting and very cute. And you can tell that he kind of wants to stay. Like,
oh, 100%.
He kind of wants to, like, hang out a little bit. And I like love that he's kind of like backing up hesitantly, and some of that right. is because he doesn't want her to throw the chicken noodle soup away.
Right.
Like, you should save yeah. that. Thank mm-hmm. you. But I just think that it's so sweet he made it, and he it didn't is. Like buy it, and uh-huh. he like dropped it off especially for her, mm-hmm. and then he's just like being all awkward. I just yeah. It's really it's cute. Sweet. It's this is our sweet. Moment, though, I think. Like, this is obviously, yes, or yesterday, last season was, or last episode, geez, was like kind of a seed. But I feel like now, especially mm-hmm. that he, mm-hmm. this is like solidifying, like, this town, this woman, like Maddie says, like, he's starting to not only love the town, but starting to love the women in it.
Yeah.
Hello. Mm-hmm. Is really evident. I use this, I wanted to point out, I use this gif of her eating the waffle with both hands.
Yeah.
All the time.
In what context are you well, using this? What is your go-to context? I'd like to
well,
know.
Well, if we're talking about like where we want to go eat lunch right. or mostly it's like if we're saying like I'll meet you here mm-hmm. at, like when I'm meeting like somebody for dinner or something yeah. or for mm-hmm. drinks or whatever, I'm like oh, that's kind of my both excited
right food excitement
right
I get it.
And most of, it's so funny because one time I think we were having like some brunch or something and somebody else, my friend, sent the gif of that and was like pointing a little arrow and was like actual footage of Holly. at
yeah.
yeah, that's right. Awesome. Oh my God. I love it. Perfect. I love waffles and whipped cream and everything.
I love waffles and chicken.
So good. You know, Hattie B's has
such a good combo. Do they have that now?
Waffles now. Well, they had waffles that came with the chicken, but like it was only on Sundays. Now they have it as a side every day.
Love it.
So good. Yeah. They also have apparently some kind of like chips. Like, I don't know if they're potato chips or they're like, you know how like, oh shit, I don't know if they're like skin chips, like pork rind kind of thing, which is gross to non-meat eaters, but like, I'm sorry. But regardless. Hattie B's, it's great. Yeah. And their waffles are actually really good. Like, you can't get a full waffle, but the waffles that they serve with the chicken, so good. All right, so now we are at where Andy is visiting April, and she's, like, quote-unquote asleep.
Right.
And he says, it's so cute. He's like, I won't leave your side. But then he's like, well, you could be asleep for hours, so I don't know.
Come back. Yeah.
Yes. And he whispers to her, like, I hope you can forgive me kind of thing. It's so sweet.
It is so sweet. And he's like, I still like you.
I still like you. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
Little kiss. And then they're like, ew, you're all sweaty.
Yeah. I know. It's so really gross. Cute. Well, and yeah, and that's something, too, like, going off kind of what Maddie had said in her notes, too, which is what we talked about last episode, where like now she's kind of like dragging two dudes along, where like she has this guy and now she's like just using him to make him jealous, to make Andy jealous. And so now it's just like, okay, lady, gots to get some shit figured out. Which, by the way, I have been in talks with Carlos Mendez, a.k.a. the one who plays the Venezuelan boyfriend.
I love
and he's going to send us in some voice memos. So yay! That'll be so exciting.
Oh, my gosh. So fun.
I know. And then now we're at the tag. So, yeah. I just am picturing. I just laughed because I'm just picturing Andy kissing her head and be like, oh, that's really sweaty. That's
yeah.
really gross. yeah. But anyway, so the tag. I was kind of shocked, like, when you really think about it, it's so important of a tag, but, like, it's kind of a throwaway almost. Like, it happened so fast that, like, if you're not really paying attention, you're not really thinking about it because, like, this is where, you know, he says, like, Chris says the boys upstairs said that we have another assignment and, you know, whatever. And Ben was like, yeah, we should ask for an extension because they need our help with the Harvest Festival. Plus, we need to tie up some loose ends, which is hilarious because those loose ends are Leslie and Anne.
Yeah.
Hello.
That's right.
Hello. So it's really cute.
It's very cute. But it does happen so quickly.
Yes.
That you may not even, because so at fast. The same time, too, Chris has gone from 0 to 100 and he's like gearing up for his light 15K run because he missed yesterday. So, you know, you can really easily miss that. But it's like, oh, yeah, okay. They're going to stay. Like, they're both wanting to hang around. Those seeds are germinating.
Oh, my. Germinating. Great vocabulary. Oh, my God. Yeah. So that's why I was like, this happened so fast, but, like, this is why they're staying. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
Because they, like, I mean, I know Chris is, like, kind of a higher-up-ish, but, like, he definitely could have been, like, yeah, we should go back. You know what I mean? Like, they're telling us that whatever.
Yeah.
But I wonder if they've ever asked for an extension before, you know?
Yeah.
I'm sure it's happened, but not for reasons like this.
Right. So. And, I mean, do you in that line of work, would you want an extension? Hanging out with people whose budgets are like tragic. So shot. And, yeah.
I know. Well, that's why I was thinking that like they probably wouldn't want to do an extension before, but they had to because things weren't wrapped up completely for the budget. But this time it's not really for the budget. I mean, like that's like 5% of it. But the other part of it is like, we got to see what happens. Right. You know what I mean? Which
Harvest is great. Festival.
Oh, and great point also about was he going to wear to Maddie, was he going to wear a mask before, like for their date? Like this,
she's like in a hospital constantly.
Or was she going to wear a mask for him because she might be infected?
The post-COVID questions we're all asking ourselves now.
Oh my God.
So. I never asked those questions the first time I watched that episode.
Nope.
Post-COVID, I'm like, mask, why isn't anyone wearing masks? Are you going to hang out with them later? Why do you murmur?
Oh my God.
Yeah. Totally.
Woof. Yeah. But yeah, that was flu season.
Holly, thank you so much for having me. I love talking about Parks and Rec. And it's always so nice to get like an episode assignment, you know?
Yes.
And to be able to watch it with those different eyes. It's so fun.
It's so intriguing. And you really are watching it from a different view.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for coming on and for being here. Thank you for having me.
I would love to come back anytime.
Okay.
And I'm curious to hear these like poll answers about kangaroos and flying and all that.
Same here. Yes, I'll put those polls in there. Don't forget to review us if you haven't yet.
Five stars only.
Come on. And then also maybe share this with a friend that you have not shared it with. You know, that would be
sharing
fun.
Sharing is caring.
Also follow us on Instagram, Park Pals Podcast, because that's how you're going to vote on the polls that I post.
Mm-hmm. Hello. And we need to know.
Yeah, we need to know. It's very important. So, And then we also do a favorite line vote. For those of you who don't know, my favorite line, I have yet to decide because I had like four of them. I think mine's the Leslie Monster one, honestly. Really? But I know that I think Maddie said that too. So, Maddie's is the connectivity problems.
Mine is stop pooping.
Okay. There's my so many favorite good line. Ones.
Stop pooping.
Oh my God. All right. Well, be sure that you follow us on Instagram and make sure that you also follow Crystal at Crystal Lee Music. And then if you're in the market for a house in Nashville,
Homes with Crystal
on Instagram. So I'll tag both of those in the show notes. But thank you, Crystal, for coming on.
Thank you guys so much. This was a blast and I can't wait till next time.
Yay. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Have a good week, guys.
There's a park and some pals, and there's also therapy too.